Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. You are tuned in to Facing Your Fears Radio Talk Show with your host, Evangelist Norma Chapman. We are so excited to have our listeners on today tuned in with us. As always, if you will, please bow your head for our opening prayer. Father God, we thank you for another great opportunity. Father God, that we may, Father God, come before our listeners on today, Father God. And we pray that, Father God, that you guide this radio talk show, Father God, and everything that we do and say will be pleasing in your sight. We thank you for our listeners, Father God. We thank you for our special guests on today, Father God. And, oh, Father God, we pray that all that we do, that you may get the glory, Father God. We thank you for another opportunity. We thank you for another day. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. As always, today I am excited and blessed to have in our studio three special guests that serve diligently on our New Orleans NAACP branch. Yes, today, listeners, we will be talking and discussing certain important information, informative information, in reference to the New Orleans branch, the New Frontiers leadership of the NAACP branch. Today's Facing the Fears radio show with your host, Evangelist Norma Chapman, is overexcited to have a day with the New Frontiers leadership that represents the NAACP New Orleans branch. These awesome upcoming special guests, Mr. James Gray, he is over our youth division, Mr. Febri Bell, he is the membership chair. First Vice President, Mr. Bobby Pierce, and he is the chairperson this year for our Freedom Fund Banquet. They will be educating many people on important and informative information on how we as people should continue to fight for justice, how important it is for our children and grandchildren, how important it is for them to be a part of history and continue to fight for justice for all humans. Many facts about the NAACP Youth Department, membership, and the most important event that helps the local NAACP and all local states and cities operate. That is the historical event which is called the Annual Freedom Fund Banquet. This year, due to the COVID-19, it has delayed many opportunities for the branches to have help in making history continue and be a blessing to many communities. Today is Thursday, July 30th, 2020, and we're so delighted to have all of our listeners tune in on today. Remember, listeners, you too can join this awesome conversation by just pressing that number one on your phone. At that time, I will bring you in the queue, and at that time, when I open up the radio to our listeners, you will have an opportunity to voice your opinions or ask any questions, your comments, and your thoughts and experience in reference to this topic on today. Our topic today is the New Frontier Leadership in NAACP. Now, I'm going to bring into the studio with me our guests for today. Good afternoon, Mr. James Gray. How are you today?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
I'm blessed. It's a pleasure and a privilege to have you on Facing Your Fears. Good afternoon, Mr. Frederick Bell. How are you today?
I'm doing great, and how are you?
I'm blessed on today. I am overexcited to have you in the studio with me as well. Last but not least, my dear good friend, first vice president of the New Orleans NAACP branch. That is none other than Mr. Bobby Pierce. How are you today, Mr. President?
Oh, blessed and highly favored, Ms. Chapman. I'm glad that you had us on, Evangelist.
And I pray that we would have some facts. And today, our listeners, we will be talking about freedom, justice, membership, history, facts. And we're talking about representation. How our special guest, along with many, many others that's a part of our New Orleans branch, is working hard, reaching out during this COVID-19 pandemic, how they're still reaching out to help communities all over our city and our surrounding areas here in the city of New Orleans. We pray that there's another, if anyone else is listening in, another state or a city, we pray that we can encourage you and your cities and states to keep going forward regardless of what's standing in the way. We still must fight for our freedom. We still must fight for justice. There's a lot of work ahead of us that needs to be done. We're not there yet, but we're a long way from where we used to be, but we got a long way to go to get where we need to be. So without further ado, I'm going to yield now, and I'm going to turn the studio over to our membership chair, Mr. Frederick Bell, and he is going to present to you his presentation for today's show. Mr. Bell.
Good afternoon to everyone. I'm so glad to be here, and thank you again, Evangelist Chapman, for inviting me to be on your show. And I think what I should do is just give people a little brief history of the NAACP, the National Branch and the New Orleans Branch, how it got started. Because a lot of times when I want to ask you to join something, I believe you should, in case you don't know, you should know where it come from or how it all got started. Sometimes that makes you proud to follow in the footsteps of those that have been there, that did not stand idly by, but stood there to help us, to fight racism, and to put us in the positions where we are today. But just as Evangelist Chapman said just a few minutes ago, we're still not where we should be. And so we still need your help and your support to help us to get where we should be. We still have a long ways to go. But like I said, I'm going to just give you a little brief history of the NAACP and of the New Orleans chapter. In 1908, it was a daily race ride rocked the city of Springfield, Illinois. That was the resting place of Abraham Lincoln. This and other eruptions of anti-black violence, particularly lynchings, were commonplace. But the Springfield incident was the thing that tipped the bucket. A group of white liberals issued a call for a meeting to discuss racial justice, and some 60 people attended, seven of whom were African Americans, including W.E. Du Bois, signed the call that was released on the centennial of Lincoln's birthday, which was February 12, 1909. That is when the NAACP was founded. The NAACP established its national office in New York City in 1910. W.E. Du Bois founded the Crisis magazine in 1910 as the premier crusading voice for civil rights. The Crisis remained the official publication of the NAACP and is a partner in the struggle for human rights for people of color. By 1913, the NAACP had placed emphasis on local organizing. The NAACP had established branch offices and grew from 9,000 in 1970 to 90,000 in 1919, with more than 300 local branches. The New Orleans branch is the oldest continuous active branch of NAACP south of Washington, D.C. It was formally chartered in July the 5th, 1915, but when they had sent the request, they got together in July the 11th, but it said that it wasn't really chartered until 1915. It was formally organized at the Tulane Avenue Baptist Church, which is now the Tulane Memorial Baptist Church. One of this branch's earliest action was the presentation of petitions containing more than 5,000 signatures protesting the use of African-American women prisoners as street cleaners. That was one of the first things, and by then we didn't have a lot of voters, so it wasn't a lot we could do but just sign petitions, and we got together and we grew. And as you know, we became the voice for civil rights. It is the largest organization, and some of the local people that have served as president, Ernest Morial, Diane French Coles, Shirley Porter, Donatus King, Attorney Donatus King, George Morris Reed, And now we have a very dynamic president who is on the ball and is always going and getting things done, and that is my president, Ronald Coleman. I'm going to say now the mission statement of the NAACP. The mission of the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People is to secure the political, education, social, and economic equality of rights in order to eliminate race-based discrimination and ensure the health and well-being of all persons. An objective of the New Orleans branch, number 6071, is the purpose and aims of the New Orleans branch of the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People shall be to improve the political, education, social, and economic status of the residents of New Orleans, to eliminate racial prejudice, to inform the public of the adverse effects of racial discrimination, and to take lawful action to secure its elimination, consistent with the effort of the national organization and its conformity with the Articles of Incorporation. So I am asking you to please come out and join us. We have the local branch. We meet on Tuesday. Right now we're doing Zoom meetings, but there are so many committees that we have. Mr. Gray will talk to you about the youth, and he's doing a wonderful job, and he will tell you about that with the youth, and we need some youth counselors. So, and I just want to say to you some of our other standing committees that you may want to join. We have communications, press and publicity, community coordination, education, finance, Freedom Fund, who Mr. Pierce was talking to you about our Freedom Fund banquet, health, legal redress. We have attorneys to handle legal redress, membership and life membership, that is my committee, political action, religious affairs, youth, women in the NAACP, which is actually WIN, WIN, that is the women. That is a little separate group that the ladies have that you ladies might want to look at. Armed Services and Veterans Affairs, Economic Development, which they're doing a great job, too. They're going to have a seminar this Friday on wealth. So they're doing a good job with that, too. Housing, Young Adults, and Labor Industry. All of these committees are available for you to join where you can help us and did it as our forefathers did, because we really need your help and support. And don't forget about this big race we coming up. We need your help to make sure that we can get the vote out, because it is so important that we get people out to vote, because we have so much at stake in these next 4 years if we don't make a change. We got Supreme Court justices that are liberal that won't make it if we cannot make those changes. So, again, those of you that are interested, I will tell you my you can email me at noblefmbell@msn.com, and I can send you, I can email you an application because of the social distancing now. I'm not doing much traveling, but I can email you, and you can download that application and mail it to our branch secretary, who will process it for you. Thank you, Evangelist Chapman.
God bless you. God bless you. There you have it, listeners. Our membership chair for the New Frontier Leadership here in our city of our great city of New Orleans, Louisiana, representing our New Orleans branch. And some things that he said is very important for our citizens to know. Membership is very important. We need membership. We need people to help fight. And join. Your voice will be heard. And the most important thing is we get out and we vote. And when we vote, we also have a voice in Washington. We have a voice in Baton Rouge. We have a voice right here in our city, at City Hall. But just we sit back and we don't go out and vote. When things go wrong, then it makes it much harder for an organization such as the NAACP to get out and fight and make sure that we have justice that prevail for our black people, not just black people, but for justice for all. Justice for all. God has no prospective person. He loves everybody the same. But there's much, much work needs to be done. With that being said, I'm going to yield and bring to the studio with us our next guest, which is our first vice, our new elected first vice president, Mr. Bobby Pierce. And he's going to be giving some informative information, important information, on a historical event that has been taking place for years and years, not just here in the city of New Orleans, but everywhere there's an NAACP branch, whether it's local, state, or national. He would give some information in reference to that. Mr. Bobby Pierce, how are you today?
Thank you, Evangelist. I appreciate the opportunity to speak today.
Well, you have the mic this time and we all ears.
Okay. We will be celebrating. This is our 105th Freedom Fund Banquet. Our Freedom Fund Banquet is our major, usually our only fundraiser for the year. And those things that the membership director was talking about, those things are funded in part through our efforts on the local level to increase the participation in the activities of those people here in this community. Now, we have a $30 membership, which will allow us to become a member in good standings in our local branch. And we'll tell you more about that later. Now, on this Freedom Fund Banquet, this is our first attempt to do it virtually. We will do it virtually. But then, you know, and people say, well, how are we going to do this virtually? Well, what we're going to do is that it's $100 per ticket, and we ask everybody to participate. We're at $100 per ticket, and then we're going to serve you a meal at your house. We are working with the Coleman Cab Company here in the city, and they're going to deliver a meal, a banquet, a feast to you. The night of the banquet starting at 4 o'clock. So from 4 to 6, we're going to deliver the food that has been prepared by the Duke & Chase restaurant, you know, our famous Duke & Chase restaurant. So they're doing the cooking, and we know that the Coleman Cab Company is going to be the delivery. We're honoring, you know, our Freedom Fund Bank, we've always honored at least it was four honorees. But this time, the branch has added one permanent award, and that's the Nancy Parker Award. It has been added this year. We got the Daniel Ellis Bird Award, the George Washington Lucas Community Service Award, the Arthur J. Schopenhauer Senior Award, and the Jesse B. Bickman Teachers Award. Those awards will be given out at the banquet. Banquet will be virtually, and you will be notified how to tune in to our banquet when it becomes true. Our program will include greetings from all of the HBCUs in the area. We've got Dillard, Xavier, Southern University, New Orleans, and this year we're including Delgado. So we will have those three people speaking to us, as well as this year we got special guests this year of Warren Bell and Norman Roberts will be in as our special guests. They will be doing some reading for us. During the banquet, we will have a donation. We will have a telethon going on at the time of the banquet. And you will be furnished that number all the time. And if you pay attention to it, the NAACP number is 504-434-8965. We're going to carry that number through. That number will be through. You can use that number now if you wanted to contact us by telephone. That's 504-434-8965. And we want to know that, you know, the best time to contact us now is via our post office box. And we have our post office box is 871450, New Orleans, Louisiana, 70187. We are now in the process of developing our webpage. At that time, we will get it out to the people. And I'm sure that we're going to Evangelist Chapman is our second vice president of the branch, and she does a good job, a very good job. And as Mr. Bell said, our president is very active. He's everywhere at Ron Coleman, and he's doing a whole lot to get the job done. But this will be the first virtual banquet that we're trying, and it's going to be the second in the history of the NAACP to get done. So we want to get it done. We're trying to. We're working very hard. We have 18 committee members that's working very hard. Everybody's working hard in order to make sure that this experience is a good experience for you and for us. So that's all I have. Thank you, Evangelist.
God bless you. There you have it, Lucas. You are still tuned in to Facing the Fears radio talk show hosted by yours truly, Evangelist Norma Chapman. I tell you the truth, listeners, I am so excited on today. And as I say every week when I look at my dashboard and I see so many callers calling in, encouraging me to keep it on, and I want you to continue to support Facing the Fears radio talk show, that our loco is coming from behind the mask. Yes, we need to stop fearing so many things and come from behind that mask and start expressing how we feel, what we feel, what we want for our children, what we want for our families, our cities, our hospitals, and so many things that people talk about every day but actually do not put the footwork in to do it. Listen, I'm telling you, we need to put the work in. Now, we're not talking about coming in and you have to march 1,000 miles to get it done. All you have to do is just pick up that phone and become a member of the New Orleans NAACP branch, and our president, President Ronald Coleman, will find something for you to do. Get on one of these committees. We have so many committees. Our next guest will be talking about the youth. We've heard the membership. You heard our first vice president speaking about the Freedom Fund. He has a committee. There's many people working on that committee to make sure that the 2020 Freedom Fund Bank would go forward. We also have a health committee. We have prison. We have a housing. We have religious affairs and many, many, many more committees that can be a part of. And then you can say, well, I once worked with the NAACP. I was interested because I'm interested because I don't want my children or their children or their children to have to go through some of the things that I went through when I was a child. And as a matter of fact, what I may be going through now, especially with this pandemic that's out there, we have a lot of work to be done, listeners. And I just stay tuned in and we are going to bring into the studio with us now. Our next guest will be talking about our youth, how important it is for our youth to be a part of this historical organization. How are you doing this afternoon, Mr. James, Representative James Gray?
Well, I'm doing fine, and actually I feel better now than I felt a few minutes ago. Mr. Bell has always educated me on some things that I didn't know. To make us all realize what a great heritage we have and what a great obligation we have to continue the good works of people who come before us. I'm in charge of what they call the Youth Council. And to start with, the Youth Council goes from age 0 to 25. They will have they are a separate and distinct group from the main body. They will elect their own president. They will elect their own secretary, their own treasurer, and they will run their own operation. And I say I'm in charge. I'm really just a coordinator and a helper to assist in getting things going. But the young people will be the people who are making this whole deal work. As a matter of fact, when I get off of this call, we're going to have a meeting in about an hour and a half of the Youth Council. And we're going to have an election a week from Saturday where we will actually vote for those officers. So first of all, I wish a lot of you who have not yet joined will join, and you still have time to join and vote in that election that's going to be about 6 days away. But let me tell you, we have gone from just about zero in the Youth Council to right now we have 200 paid members to the Youth Council. And that's outstanding. And the truth of the matter is we're going to go beyond that. There are a lot of things for us to do, and I'm going to talk about some of those things we're trying to do. But we are over 200 strong as I speak right now in terms of paid members. There are discussions with a lot of people who are in the process of joining. And I think we're going to be over 300 in the next 30 days. Now, incidentally, I was feeling good about us here in New Orleans saying, man, we've recruited 200 youth. But I talked to the statewide chairman yesterday, and she said she had sitting on her desk 300 membership applications. Now, that's from all over the state. And I realized that we in New Orleans, we're supposed to be the leader. We're supposed to do a little bit more than everyone else. And so we're going to have to get on the stick. Our 200 looks good, but they're working hard all over the state recruiting youth because now is a good time. A first project all of us have, both the youth, the adults, all of us are involved in the project of getting people involved in the voting process. As a matter of fact, we've already run a couple of voter registration drives already this summer, even with the virus and the pandemic going on. Young NAACP members from Dillard and some members from Uptown in connection with a group called Community Commitment, they put on a voter registration drive running from about June 4th to June 19th. And it was well orchestrated, well worked, and they did a good job registering a number of people. And we need to do a lot more of that because we're facing a critical election this fall. Now, when I say voter registration, you may say, well, wait a minute, you just said we go from 0 to 25. Most of the people are not old enough to vote. That's true, but most of them have mamas and daddies and grandmothers and grandfathers, and those who can't vote, it's their job to get their parents and grandparents to make sure that if you're worried about the future, you will do something about it. And the theme that I sent you, Evangelist Chapman, was seizing the power that we have. We need to understand, all of us, including our youth, that we have the power to shape our future. We have the power to solve the problems that we have around us. We just have to wake up in the morning, decide that we are going to do it. It works a lot better if we're working in collective efforts with groups like the NAACP and decide we are going to do that. Now, incidentally, aside from the voter registration, the voter participation for the poll, another project that everyone ought to take a look at is what the NAACP calls ACTSO, ACT-SO. Look it up. Google it and take a look at it. It is a national contest held every year in a variety of fields. ACTSO stands for Afro-Cultural Technical Scientific Olympics. There are competitions in music, both vocal, instrumental, dance competitions. There's competitions in public speaking. There are competitions in developing robotics and science projects. And those competitions lead from a local competition to a national competition, which leads to scholarships to college. And it also leads to the great experience of our kids coming in contact with kids like themselves from all over the country and realizing that they not only are as good as anyone they're going to bump into, that they are going to be better prepared than the people they're going to bump into from the rest of the country. And I think if any of you Google ACTSO and take a look at it, there's a little video that you will bump into, and I think you will be impressed and amazed, and many of you will say, you know, I want my child, I want my grandchild to be involved in that. And incidentally, speaking of your children and grandkids, one of the things I'm asking all adults to do is register your child, register your grandchild. Even if it's a newborn, give the newborn a membership so that when he runs for president, he can say, I've been a member of the NAACP since I was a baby. I've been committed to my people and to change and to progress since I was a small child. It was instilled in me by my parents and my grandparents. Now, having said all of that, I'm willing to answer any questions, but I think it is very clear that we're in a very special time now. the movements that we see in the street, the Black Lives Matter, the controversy created by our current president, and incidentally, the NAACP does not pick particular political candidates, but we do work hard to inform people about what difference politics makes and to encourage them to go and protect their interests. One of the things, particularly with this pandemic, all of us have to be concerned about medical care. All of us have to be concerned about whether or not if we got sick tomorrow, we can be assured that we, our mothers, our fathers, our grandmothers, go to a hospital and get adequate medical care. And the truth is there are some politicians who would take that away from us. Sometimes when you have something, you think it's yours and it will be there forever, but nothing is forever. You have to fight for it every day. And basic medical care is one of those things that we need to fight for every day. And it's one of those things that's at stake in this election, because there's a real risk that if President Trump is in fact reelected, that he will in fact be successful in doing what he's been trying to do for the last 4 years, and that is abolish what he calls Obamacare. And incidentally, I call it Obamacare too, and I'm thankful to Obama because it's there, because as a result of Obamacare, my mother got medical treatment I never could have afforded in the last days of her life. And I think that's a right that every citizen should have, to get adequate medical care no matter what their station is in life, no matter how much money they have in their bank account. But that's where we are. We're in a place where, well, there's one other thing I should have mentioned. In addition to the youth council, which goes from 0 to 25, the NAACP as a national policy is encouraging what they call young adults. And they're saying that there will be young adults up to the age of 41. And they're encouraging young adults to start who might not want to be bothered with a bunch of old guys, like the three old guys you have on this call today, but who are even more dedicated than we are to the future of our people. And the national body has committed to let those young adults have a fair amount of freedom in moving forward and fighting for the same thing that all of us are fighting for. But they may have a little more energy, a little different ideas, a little more focus than some of us have, and just a different frame of reference. And they don't want to be dominated by a bunch of old guys. And I guess there are no old women, but some old guys who are too fixed in their way of thinking. So if you don't come under the age of 25, also think about joining the NAACP, because there's going to be a lot of flexibility for those people in that age group between 25 and 41 to lead the charge in doing some of the things that all of us agree we need to do, and we have the power to do in this city. One other little bit of thing I want to say, and Mr. Bell talked to us a little bit about the history. The truth of the matter is I've been a dues-paying member of the NAACP forever. I have not been this actively involved. And Mr. Bell gave me some documents that really impressed me. I was aware as a lawyer of the role the NAACP Legal Defense Fund had played in changing this country. The NAACP Legal Defense Fund is the lead organization on virtually all of the major lawsuits, such as Brown v. Board of Education versus the Oklahoma case that first dealt with blacks going to graduate school, over the housing legislation that changed the way blacks were treated, gave them a remedy when they were discriminated against in housing. And much to my surprise, much of the money to finance that came from New Orleans. Much of the money, in fact, for the early years, NAACP Defense Fund, New Orleans, the state of Louisiana, contributed more money to that effort than any other state in the union. And over about a 30-year period of documents that Mr. Bell shared with me, Louisiana was second only to Georgia in terms of the actual financial commitments made to the NAACP League of Defense Fund. So those of us who are here, we are heirs to a great heritage, a historic heritage. Our fathers and grandfathers have contributed greatly to change in the country that we live in. And even as we complain about the things that are all wrong today, they're a lot better than they used to be, and much of that is due to the efforts of the people who came before us, and to the extent we're going to move it from where we are today to where we want to be to where we ought to be is going to depend on your efforts and the efforts of your children and your grandchildren, and we need to get them involved right now. Evangelist Chapman, I don't know what else I can say other than that. If anyone has a question, if any clarifications,
I will be opening up the line shortly. We doesn't have any callers now that I can see on the dashboard that asking to ask a question or have a comment for you all at this time. But I want to encourage your listeners to do press that number one on your phone, and you'll have an opportunity to speak with one of the guests, either guest that you want to speak with in reference to any questions or comments, or if you just want to share in with your experience if you're an NAACP member and you want to share your experience with the NAACP, feel free to press that number one on your phone at that time. I will bring you into the studio. Until then, you are still tuned in to Facing Your Fears Radio Talk Show, hosted by yours truly, Evangelist Norma Chapman. And listeners, we are talking today to the New Frontiers leadership here in the city of New Orleans with our NAACP New Orleans branch, where we have many committees that is working tireless and to bring this branch to be all that God would have it to be. We're talking about freedom today. We're talking about membership. We're talking about history. We're talking about facts. We're also talking about representation. And we always want to hear from our listeners out there. I want to know your thoughts and your feelings about the topic that has been coming forth, especially on today's topic. There's so much out there to deal with economics and ultra culture. So much in people's affordable rent. We have our health department, where you heard Dr. Pertan last week was talking about health issues, habits with our eating habits, with sickness that we've already have, and that can develop into a deadly situation. But there's a way you can get around that by eating much healthier food. So we had him on. We brought in part one and part two, and he's the NAACP chair for the health department. But I want to ask some questions to our guest on today, and I'm going to start with Mr. Bobby Pierce. Mr. Pierce, how long have you been a member of the NAACP?
I have been, I guess I was listening to Mr. Gray there. We talk about you can buy a car for your for the baby, and the baby can run for something. Say, I've been in NAACP all my life. That is my story. My father would have, I came from a big family, but my daddy would make sure that we all had memberships in the NAACP. And you know what? I still maintain that, and I would say that I'm well over 70 years old in the NAACP. So, That's why I refer to myself as an NAACP-er, you know, because I've been involved in the struggle. We know that in this year, I like the idea that the national office has said, when we fight, we win, and that's the truth. When we fight, we have to get out there and fight. We have to fight a good fight, and that's, you know, as Representative Lewis told us, you know, we have to get in trouble, good trouble. And we have to get out there and we fight because freedom, we know freedom is not free.
Right. Yes. Thank you, Mr. Pierce. Also, I would like to ask the same question to Mr. Gray. How long have you been a member of the NAACP?
Well, I'm almost like Bobby. The first time I got a card, I couldn't read it. And I learned to read real early. Yeah. But my parents... my parents thought that you were obligated to be part of the struggle, and from the time I'm not as long in it. Well, I may have gotten a card 70 years ago too, because I'm pretty old too. But but we were told that you were obligated to be part of the struggle, and that there was a struggle, and we were told that while in the struggle, you look for allies, you try to make friends, but your future was in your hands. You had to fight. It wasn't just convincing other people to save you. You had to save yourself. Let me tell you, and I was looking at some numbers and thought it might be relevant to this discussion we were having today. And talk about voting. In 2014, when Mary Landrieu was a senator, and she lost that election in 2014 to someone. And Mary, you may not have loved her, but generally she looked out for our interests a whole lot better than the guy who replaced her. The turnout in the black community in that election was only 42.2%. In Orleans Parish, the turnout was only 41.1%. Now, here's the key. Mary lost that election by 151,000 votes. We had 534,000 black folks in the state of Louisiana who were registered but did not vote in that election. If one out of three of those people had voted, Mary would have won easily. So when you say, well, does my vote count? You know, what difference does it make? The answer is, one, your vote does count, because your vote, along with your family, your friends, can change the outcome of these things. And two, if you look at the policies pursued by our current U.S. senator and look at the policies pursued by Mary, though I didn't agree with everything Mary did, she was a lot closer to us than the guy who's there now. So we do have the power. We sat on the power, and we didn't do anything with it. Now, let me admit something. I may have my first membership card about the same time he got his first membership card. But the truth is, I went to my first NAACP meeting this year. I was one of those guys, you pay your dues and you thought you had done your part. But Ron Coleman came and told me that's not enough. You know, you have to come, you have to do something, you have to work. And he's absolutely right. I have been actively involved in this chapter really just for about 5 or 6 months, but it's one of the most fulfilling things I've ever done, and I'm going to keep doing it.
Okay, and for those of you out there who does not know who Ronald Coleman is, that is the new elected vice president of the NAACP. The front line of the New Frontiers is our president, Mr. Ronald Coleman, who's doing a tremendous job, and we thank him for all his endeavors that he's doing, and we pray that God will continue to give him visions and that God will give us the knowledge and the understanding and the wisdom how to follow our leader's vision, because we do have some tremendous people working with the NAACP, and I tell you, we have like 28 committees and the chairs and all. We are really trying to work for the advancement of our colored people. Now, with that being said, I'm going to go to Mr. Bell now and ask him the same question. How long has he been a member of the NAACP?
I have been a member most of my adult life, and I do apologize, and I'm glad Mr. Gray reminded me. Me being a Prince Hall Mason, I just take it for granted everybody knew how the Legal Defense Fund was funded. But becoming a Prince Hall Mason, that's second nature of the NAACP, especially the Legal Defense Fund. Thurgood Marshall was a Prince Hall Mason. Benjamin Hooks was also. And I'm like Mr. Gray. I have been a member at large. I've been a Silver Life member. But this year, same thing. Mr. Coleman and I served on OBDEC together, and he called me and told me he wanted me to come. And then when I got there, he said, I want you to take membership. And I said, well, he said, I want you to take it. I think, and I did, because I always admired Ronald for his get up and go. And I'm so proud to serve there, too. But again, also, I forgot to say the amount of the memberships, the different type of memberships we have, too. So may I say that now? The annual membership dues is $30 a year. And we also have the silver lifetime membership, which is $750. And you can pay that in 10 installments of $75. So, again, you can call any of those numbers, contact us through the information that Bobby gave you, or you can contact me directly at noblefmbell@msn.com. And also, one other thing I want to say, too, is that most of your black fraternities have MOUs with the national organization, too. So we are all well connected, and this is why if you're not a part of us, you need to become a part so you can go down in history to being part of one of the most large the largest civil rights organization worldwide.
Yeah.
That's all I have. And I appreciate you giving me this opportunity again, Evangela Chapman.
Let me say something quick about what Mr. Bell said. The black fraternities all have an MOU with the NAACP. The truth of the matter is, I think here in New Orleans, the Alphas have probably done a better job historically than the rest of us. But I'm a good Kappa, and Al Polmark has joined, and he's working hard to bring Kappas in. And I'm telling the Kappas and the Alphas and the Qs and the Omegas that the Kappas are going to bring more members in than anyone else, because that's what we do. But all of you out there, if you're in any of those groups, including the sororities, your national body has an agreement with the NAACP promising to help out. And that needs to be honored.
Yes.
Also, while you're still talking, Mr. Gray, you forgot to mention how much it is for the youth to join the NAACP. So we do have the college chapter, and we have the youth. And how much is it if someone wants to sign up now as a NAACP youth? How much is it for their membership?
The basic NAACP youth membership is $15. And if you register the baby, like I suggest y'all to register the babies too, the $15 membership, you get a copy of the magazine. If you don't want the magazine, you can join for as little as $10. And I should have mentioned when I talked, we were able to get 200 members because some fine citizens in this city said to me, James, if there are some kids who can't afford to pay, we'll find the money to help them pay. And a few businessmen, I'm not going to call their names right now because I'm not sure they want me to, but a few businessmen in this city paid for 100 memberships of $15 a piece. But the basic membership is $15. Without the magazine, you can get it for
$10. Okay. And that magazine is the magazine that the members also would receive once they become a member. That's the Crisis magazine we're talking about. They would get a subscription of that along with, okay, a monthly magazine. Is that a monthly magazine?
Quarterly.
And one of you all can ask the body?
It's quarterly.
The crisis is in its quarterly.
It's quarterly.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, let's talk about some of the things that the NAACP, from national to local, is doing. And before I get into that, because it's getting late in the show, I do want to ask one more question and give you all an opportunity to give me a short answer so we can move into the next stage that I have in mind for us on today before the show ends. That is, the question here is, what would you say to encourage our listeners on today if they're not a member of the NAACP and they are thinking about becoming a member, or they have mixed motions about NAACP, how would you encourage one listener on today to come in and join with us? As Mr. Bobby Pierce said, I am the newly elected second vice president of the New Orleans branch, which was surprising to me that I would be this year, because for 6 years I have served with the New Orleans branch NAACP as the Religious Affairs chairperson. This year, the president appointed me to be the Veterans Affairs, and I've never been in the military, but God has given me the wisdom, and I thank God for the understanding that he's given me how to go about helping these women in the military in reference to domestic violence, sexual harassment, and sexual assault. So God has been leading me in a positive direction and doing productive things in that area as me being the chair for the Veterans Affairs. But I want to start with Mr. Bob very quickly, Mr. Bob, because it's getting late in the show. Give me what would you say to our listeners on today to encourage them to join the NAACP?
You know what? If you look at the situation in the world today, and that's why we have to stay prayed up all the time, is that folks are against people of color simply because they're people of color. That's why you have substantial racism. You know, racism, that's because people are just racist, and they hate you because you were born of color. And so we are here fighting, and we have to fight for recognition as an individual. And you look around you, and you see, you know, every day you hear about somebody being disrespected as a human. So that's what we're all about. We're all about fighting, and when we fight, we win. That's where we are. Look at yourself.
Thank you, Mr. Pierce. Mr. Bell, what would you say to our listeners on today to encourage them to join the NAACP if they're not yet a member, or if they were a member and has not renewed their membership with our branch? What would you say to encourage them, even if they're not in the city of New Orleans and they're living in another state or another town or another city? What would you say to them to encourage them to either join or renew their membership with the NAACP?
What I would say to them, as I stated earlier, the reason why the NAACP was formed, because of racism. Maybe not the lynching is not as bad, well, not today like it was back then, but we're still having the same systematic racism. They let a few of us may get by, but the majority of us still have to go through a whole lot more than people of other color. So you need to help us to eliminate that, to make it better for your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren. Just as the forefathers made it good for us, we need to make it better. So you need to join, and like I said, if you can't be part of the committees, your membership money help us to fight lawsuits, to do the things that we need to do to finance some of these committees. So we need your support either way, and that is what I would say.
Thank you so much, Mr. Bell. Now, the same question is to Mr. Gray. I want to know, how would you encourage, and what would you say to our listeners on today to encourage them to become a part and join with us with the NAACP?
Aside from amen and what the other two speakers said, is I would say, numbers represents power. I talked about us getting up to 200 members in the youth department and then finding out that at the state they're sitting on their desks on 300 memberships. We will have a press conference talking about the thousands of young people in this state who have decided they are going to participate in their own salvation. And those numbers alone make a difference. Our ability to speak on your behalf is increased by the fact that we can say we are representing large numbers of people. And finally, if you say to us, well, wait a minute, but there is something you ought to be doing and you're not doing, I say, come on, join us, and you lead us in doing that, because there's so much to be done and we need so much help to get it done, that everything you can think of that's good that we ought to be doing, we're not doing, you need to be the committee chair and come make it work. And there's an infrastructure that's over 100 years old that is sitting there to help you make your voice louder and your efforts more effective in changing the world we live in.
There you have it, listeners. and the ones that are a member of the NAACP. And if you are not a member of the NAACP, let me share this with you. Membership in the NAACP means joining the leading civil rights organization in the nation. By lending your name and your energy to the NAACP, you stand with other members on the front line of change. You would be an important part of a network of hundreds of thousands of members and supporters throughout the nation. A stronger NAACP with a larger, more active membership is the best hope for ensuring economic and advancing our gains. Now we have over 100 years old. The NAACP is persisting in its fight for economics. Also, members like you and I, and members, if you and listeners, if you decide to join the NAACP, help the NAACP achieve the following recent victories. We have voter suppression. We shine light on a racial profiling and call for an end to stop Rex, Rick policies. Register a record number of voters and engage 1.2 million voters in 2012. Bring more attention to health disparities like HIV and much more. We provide financial education, banking information, and compact discrimination. We would continue adversities to repeal the death penalty and much, much more. As they said, you would also receive a subscription to the Crisis Magazine and a vote for the annual Image Award winner. And if you become a member of the NAACP, you have a voice. We can march on to victory. We can look back through the years when I was a little girl and when Martin Luther King was out there fighting for justice. He said he may not get there with us, but one day his little black boy and his little black girl will be able to sit at the table with other little white girls and little white boys. Our schools will not be segregated. We'll be able to have the same privilege as the white children had when he was protesting. Listeners, on today, we are still facing crisis. There's many cities and towns are still fighting for their little children and for themselves to have the same equal opportunity as other citizens there in their area. So the fight is not over. The fight is actually just beginning. The fight will continue. We will continue to fight. We will continue to march. We will continue to protest. We will continue to keep marching on to justice until justice has been won. And repeating what our first vice president, Mr. Bobby Sears, said, when we fight, we win. We have a little time left in the show. You do still have time to press that number one on your phone. If you have any questions, comments, I want to share your thoughts, experience on today's topic. With that being said, I'm going to give an opportunity to Mr. Gray. Information on how they can contact him after the show. If you're interested in your youth joining NAACP, very quickly, Mr. Gray, give a phone number or website, an email where they can contact you after the show. Very quickly. We have about 3 minutes left in the show.
The email address is nitsuai@gmail.com. I repeat, nitsuai@gmail.com. Or the other emails that Mr. Noble gave, because he's the head of overall membership, and anything that goes to him, I would get the information that relates to the youth council. We are waiting. We need you. We need your help. We're getting a lot of help. We need a lot more. We're going to get some things done.
Thank you. Thank you. Very quickly, Mr. Bell, very quickly. We have a minute left in the show. Give an email address and a contact number, how to contact you for membership afterwards, Mr. Bobby Pierce, give information on how they can contact you in reference to the Freedom Fund Banquet. Very quickly, we have a minute left.
Okay, I gave my email address, but I will give it again. NobleFmBell@msn.com. And you can use the phone number that Bobby gave, or my cell number is 504-421-2592. Thank you.
Mr. Pierce.
Yes. Thank you, Evangelist. Yeah, they Bobby Pierce. You can contact me via the number I gave you, 504-434-8965, or you can email me at bobpierce@cox.net. We're glad to do that, and we need to talk about, I will talk to you, really, those people who want to become donors, make sure that you make contact with me. We talk about donors between the amount of $500 and $1,500. So give me a call so we can get it all done. Thank you.
Thank
and
you
I appreciate
very much.
You,
we will be having Mr. Bobby.
I appreciate you and the work you're doing.
Okay. Thank you. We will be bringing Mr. Pierce back on as we approach the Freedom Fund Bank. But listeners, I want to thank you for tuning in on today's show. And as always, you can contact me at Norma_Chapman@yahoo.com, or you can check me out on my Facebook page, Facing Your Fears Facebook page, my page, What Faith Can Do Facebook page. Also, you can always reach out to our website, www.fearsfacing.com. As always, I thank God for you, and now through a little short prayer, closing prayer. Father God, we thank you for today's show, Father God. We pray that, Father God, something that was said, a ear out there that needed to hear, Father God, that we made a difference, Father God, in today's as we go forth without, as we go forth fighting for justice, fighting for those who cannot fight for themselves, standing in the gap, being a voice for those who are afraid to cry out for themselves. We thank you for our guest on today, Father God. We pray that you'll continue to bless everything that they put their hands to do. We pray for the NAACP, Freedom Fund Bank, would be all that you would want it to be, and that they will come forth and support this NAACP Freedom Fund Bank. We do thank you for our guest, Mr. Bell, and we ask that you out there, please contact the membership chair and become a member of the NAACP. And Father God, when it's all said and done, everything that we do, that you may get the glory out of what we do. I thank you again for Facing Your Fears, radio talk show. Father God, we also pray for those that are on ventilators, Father God, due to COVID-19, that you would heal their bodies. Those that are being healed, we thank you for the healing power for them. And those who have lost loved ones, whether it's connected to the COVID-19 or not, we ask that you keep your loving arms of protection all around them, and we encourage them to look to the hills on today, which come as their help. All of their help come from God. Now, we thank you, dear God, and that is the end of our show for today. I want to thank my guests for tuning in, the frontier leaders of the NAACP New Orleans Branch. God bless you, and God keep you, and good afternoon, and you have a blessed day.